Turn with me to Romans chapter 4, if you brought your Bible this evening. We'll get right into it. Romans chapter 4. We'll read. This is talking about Abraham and his faith. And the Bible says that he's the father of those who are of faith. So that's he's not our heavenly father. He's not our, give us spiritual birth. That came through God and the Holy Spirit. But what father means in this case, it means like a father today is an example for his children, for those that walk in his steps and follow and learn from him. He's an example of walking by faith.
Amen.
So we want to learn from our father of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we can see a lot of this, a lot of things about Abraham's faith all through the New Testament, and you would never be able to accomplish or teach it all in one service. But there's some things here in the fourth chapter of Romans that I want to especially look at. And Romans chapter number 4 is where we're looking. Let's start reading in verse, oh my, this is dangerous. If I start backing up, I'll end up in Genesis 1:1. The end of verse 16 says, at the end of verse 16 there, you can read it there if you'd like, but it's referring to the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
That's right.
So that's what he's talking about. And whenever he talks about, when he says this in verse number 17, as it is written, I have made thee, talking to Abraham, a father of many nations before him whom he believed. And if you read carefully in the Bible, that's anyone who is of faith, regardless of their nation. Many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So Jesus came, he was of the seed of David, who was of the seed of Abraham. Abraham's lineage comes all the way down to Jesus in the natural. But really, if you read Galatians closely, Abraham was told ahead of time that of his seed there would be the Messiah. And Abraham believed that.
Yes.
There were steps that he took to do his part when he was here on the earth, receive that son, receive that promised land. You know, there was things that God told him and said to him, and his seed possessed it later, but his seed started by him being a man of faith and receiving Isaac.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
So there were steps and there was a lot to it, but eventually it was all God starting a plan to get the Messiah into the earth, to get Jesus into the earth. And in order to do that, Abraham had to believe God, because his wife and he had not had any children. She's past the age of childbearing, and it was impossible in the natural, as far as the natural. Remember, he struggled for a while. We looked at that, and he didn't really jump into faith right away, but eventually God changed his name, got him speaking Abraham, which God is speaking his name Abraham, which meant father of a multitude. Which was not what his name meant before that. So he's calling himself a father of a multitude now. And that's what it means whenever, and he didn't even have any children.
Yes, sir.
Calling himself daddy and he has no children.
All right.
So before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Part of faith, that's what Abraham did. It's God that first said it, but Abraham picked it up and started calling himself something that he was not.
Right.
Something that be not.
Right.
Now, if you've never entered into that in your life, you've never entered into faith yet.
All right. Come on.
Okay. Come on.
Never have entered into faith yet.
Yeah.
This is faith talking. This is the way faith talks.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Faith doesn't wait to see to believe something and say it. Faith says what God says about it. He said, I have made you a father of many nations before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, called those things to be not as though they were. That verse is obviously, first of all, talking about God being the one who calls things that be not as though they were. We understand God does that. But look at verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Now, quickly, who's that talking about? Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Is that God?
Abraham.
No, that's Abraham.
Abraham.
Abraham, who against hope. So the subject at the beginning of verse 18 is Abraham.
Yeah. Yes.
That means the subject at the end of verse 17 has to be Abraham.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
In other words, not only did God call Abraham something that he wasn't.
Yeah.
A father.
Yeah.
That's right.
Abraham called himself something.
Yes, he did.
Yes. Amen.
that he was not.
Yeah.
But he didn't just pull it out of the air and start saying something. Notice, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Here's an important statement. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be.
Right.
So God had spoken to Abraham, had said, you're the father of a multitude. He said, I have made thee. He didn't say, I am going to make thee. He said, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Yes.
And he didn't even have any children.
Yes.
So he said he is something that he's not.
Yes.
Now you might say, well, that's wonderful God did that. But you know, he did that to you too.
Sure. Yes. Come on. Yes, sir.
He called you a lot of things that sometimes don't appear like they are.
That's true. Yes, sir.
Well, if God said it, it'll be so. Not so.
Yep.
Bible didn't say you'll have what God said. It said you'll have what you say. Mark 11:23, you'll have what you say.
Yes, sir.
In other words, it's our agreement with God.
Yes, amen, amen.
It's our agreement with God that makes things come to pass. God's a perfect gentleman. He won't push anything off on anybody.
Yeah, right. That's right. Amen.
He can say that he has redeemed you from the curse of the law.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe it and say it,
yeah,
he won't force anything on you.
Right.
He'll bless you as far as you can. Yeah. But you're really in more authority in your life than God.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Come on.
Oh, no, that's a heresy statement. Well, then why doesn't he make you do something? He doesn't make you do anything. You choose to do something. You choose your actions. You choose your words. You choose what you believe. You choose what you think. God doesn't do all that in your life. Anyway, so God calls those things that be not as though they were. Abraham began to do that. And he did it, according to verse 18, he did it according to that which was spoken.
Yes, sir.
Say it out loud. He said what God said.
He said what God said.
Amen. Isn't that right? That's the flow of God. That's the flow of faith.
Yes, amen.
I mean, that's the way God rolls.
Yes.
That's the way he created this whole planet.
Amen. Amen.
Let there be light. He said it. It came to pass.
Yes, amen. Praise God.
Are you rolling with God?
Come on.
If you're rolling with God, you're saying what he said.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, if God said something to you, you're authorized to say it.
Yes, sir.
Even if it doesn't look like it,
yeah,
you're authorized to say it.
Yes.
Regardless of what circumstances say, or regardless of what you see, you're authorized to say what God said about everything.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
We have been, God showed me clearly, no question about it. He showed me this land. This is 4089, is over here on 21st Avenue where they're demoing that building.
Yeah.
He showed that. I turned that corner that afternoon.
Yeah.
I had just had several meetings that afternoon.
Yeah.
My mind was on all those meetings.
Yeah.
I was not thinking about that building. I wasn't thinking about buying that land. I wasn't thinking about anything.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about all that we had talked about in those meetings.
Yes, sir.
You know, we talked about Leanne and how to fix her and stuff like that. But no, I'm talking. That makes people nervous. It's usually more about business than it is people, so don't worry about it. but I turned that corner and I'm just, you know, my mind's totally on something else.
Yeah.
And you know how you turn a corner and you look where you're going.
Yeah.
And I turned the corner and I looked, this time I kind of looked back towards the buildings here, but I looked, and the building that is now gone was gone.
Yeah.
In the flesh, it was standing there.
Yeah.
But when I turned, it was gone. And it's good that it didn't last long because I had to drive. You know what I'm talking about? It was like it was gone. Then I blinked and it's there again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost dropped on me.
Yeah.
And I started laughing. Because
yes,
he said that building's going to disappear. That building's going to be demolished. And he said, "And I want that land to come into the hands of the church. I want that. You need to claim that. If you're willing to take it, it's yours."
Come on, amen, amen. Come on.
Well, so we've been saying something that be not.
Yeah, amen.
One of the first times I started talking to the staff about it, I started talking about the owner of that land, and the Lord stopped me. He said, "No, he's the seller."
Yeah.
He's not the owner.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Now, he has given us no indication he's a seller.
Uh-huh.
But God authorized us to say seller.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
That's the way we talk.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
today. We were discussing some things. Some things came up, and he's getting, like Brother Hagin said one time, he and Maritha had in their heart that the house they were renting was theirs, and he went to the owner to see if they wanted to sell it. No, we don't want to sell it. And but see, God had put it in their heart.
Right. Yes.
You can't have faith for something you don't hear. Or have revelation that this is God's will. You don't have all these things written in the Word, but you've got the Holy Ghost to fill in the blanks.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? You know, put the meat on the bone, so to speak. So he said, that just kept coming up in their spirit that the house they were renting was theirs. And so he went to the owner and see if he wanted to sell it. Good Christian man and everything. He said, would you like to sell this? He said, we'd like to buy it. And he said, no, I don't think so. We don't want to sell it. He went back to Miss Aretha. Miss Aretha said, what did he say? And Brother Hagin said, well, he's going to sell it to us. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, somebody said you shouldn't covet somebody else's property. We're not coveting anybody's property. God transferred the title deed to the thing. He did it to all those Canaanites out in Kadesh, you know, all those places.
Yes, amen.
He said, I have given you the land. They're in there plowing their fields and building their houses, and God said, I gave it to you.
Yes, amen.
Anyway, people get all worked up about that stuff. We're not talking about just willy-nilly coveting somebody something. We're talking about hearing from heaven. So we were talking about some things today and discussing some things with the seller. Oh, we were trying to get hold of him. Never don't think we ever got hold of him. But anyway, we had some things we had to work out. And so I said to the staff on the phone, I said, before I hung up, I said, now I just want to know. All I can say is what God said.
Amen. Yeah.
I just can't say anything. I just got to say what God said.
Amen.
God said it's ours.
Yeah.
God said it would come down. I mean, if the first part came, you think God was 50% right that day? He's 50% right. It came down. But you know, the other 50%, you just never can tell.
No.
You never can tell what God's going to do.
No, sir.
No, he knew what he was talking about.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't look like anything's going to come to pass. But I just said, all I can tell you is what the Holy Ghost said. That's all I can tell you. And that's all I got to say. We don't need to sweat, fret. You know? Sweat until we stink. You know what I'm talking about? Just as cool as a cucumber, just saying what God said. I was minding my own business. I never did tell you. Minding my own business about, a month and probably 6 weeks ago now. And I wasn't even thinking about this over here. And he kept saying the seller kept saying what he's going to do with it. Just call what I see not. Anyway, I'm just minding my own business. I kept saying this word, what God said. Just minding my own business. And I wasn't even thinking about it. Just fellowship with the Lord one morning. And I heard these words come up out of my spirit. Yeah. See, faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
This is how you believe. You believe according to what was spoken.
Yes, yes. Amen.
And I heard this come up out of my spirit. The angels are frustrating his plans.
Yeah.
I started laughing. I knew instantly the Lord was talking about the seller. I started laughing. I've been saying that.
Yeah.
See, why does God give you something to say? Because give you things like that. He gives that to you to say.
Yes.
To say.
Yes, sir.
To say.
Yes, sir.
And today was the first little glimmer of the fact that he might be getting it.
Hey, praise God. Praise God.
They were full steam ahead to build something over there, and today they said, "Well, we're going to just let it lay there. We're not going to build anything right now. We're just going to let it lay there, or maybe sell it." I said, "No, maybe about it."
No, maybe. No, maybe. Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
See, he's not dealing with a Johnny Come Lately faith guy.
Come on, that's exactly.
That starts shaking in his boots whenever he says he's going to do something else. No, he's not going to do something else.
No, sir.
He's going to run headlong into our angels.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just talking to you. You can't do those things without hearing.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just going to pull something out of there and believe it. That's not faith. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. The word substance means foundation.
Yes.
Faith has a firm foundation.
Yes, sir.
It's built on something. It's not hanging out in the air on nothing. It's built on something God said. It's like I've said to you, you can't believe me to give you whatever, right? My vehicle or something.
Uh-huh.
You can't believe me to do that. I didn't say I would do that.
Right.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to believe somebody's doing. Well, anyway, so some of you.
Yeah.
Now, if God told you I was going to, then eventually he'll get it through to me. But God didn't say it, so. You can have Pastor Debbie's, but I, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'll preach over here tonight. But faith has to be in your mouth.
Yes, sir.
I said faith has to be in your mouth.
Yes.
Now, you can, I mean, you can have a heart full of faith and don't say anything.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And it'll do you no good.
Yes, sir.
Just be like you don't have any,
yeah.
as far as anything happening.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Of course, the opposite is also true. You can have the word in your mouth without it being in your heart. And in that case, you're trying to spend something you don't yet own.
All right.
You got to become one with the word.
Yes.
You've got to feed on it until it's engrafted. Remember, James, received the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word, anything that's like a tree. You ever seen apple trees with a graft in it? It's got the whole tree's producing one kind of apples, but the grafted branch is producing a totally different kind of apple. That's a graft.
Yeah.
But they wrap that until it eventually becomes one with the tree. And then they take that wrap off, and that branch is just as tight as all the rest of the branches.
Amen.
They became one.
Yes.
The engrafted word is the word that you become one with.
Yes.
How do you become one with it? Well, first of all, hearing it, first of all. Isn't that right?
Yes.
But also meditating on it.
Yes.
Meditation is how you own it.
Yes. All right.
Like I said, you can't spend something you don't own.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Of course, you can own something and not spend it.
Yes.
And that won't do you any good either.
Yes.
What do you mean spend it? Well, when it comes to faith, I'm talking about say it.
Yes.
Saying it is using it. Saying it is spending it.
Yes.
It's like a guy that has, he's starving to death, but he's got money.
Yeah.
He could go buy food or meals or something.
Yes.
Well, that just having it doesn't do him any good. He's got to use it. He's got to spend it.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
And that's the way faith is. You got to own it, and then you've got to spend it.
Yeah.
And the saying is the spending part.
Right.
Amen. So when it comes to the faith, the way you use it is you mix words with it and you mix actions with it.
Yes.
Amen. And that's how you conduct business with heaven.
Yes.
The Lord said to me one time, came to me by an utterance of the Spirit. Faith is the only currency in the kingdom of heaven that's legal tender. He said it's the only thing God honors in exchange for goods and services.
Amen.
You need some service work on your body? Pull it into God's body shop. And start saying what God said to you.
Yes, sir, that's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so it's the way you conduct business with heaven. And notice here he said, God said, I have made you. And Abraham had to become what God had made him.
Yes.
How did he become? By saying what God had said.
Yes.
Well, what about all the rest? Well, do this first and then God will say what the rest is.
Amen.
I mean actions, other corresponding actions. Amen.
Amen.
So, and you don't become these things by your own ability.
Right.
You become these things that God said you are by saying it.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What have you been saying? I'm not talking about in church.
No, sir.
I'm not talking about in front of me.
Right. No, come on.
I'm talking about, see, God hears you all the time.
All the time.
Jesus said that. I thank you that you hear me always.
Yes.
That meant before I stand here and say Lazarus, he said that at Lazarus' tomb. Before I stand here and say Lazarus come forth, you heard me all day long when I was saying what's going to happen whenever I stand there and say Lazarus comes forth.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So it's important that you say the right things. When it comes to faith, that's the way faith is released. Now, God, when God says you are something, that authorizes you to say it.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Say it out loud. That authorizes me to say it. The only authority to believe God is what God said. The only authority you have to believe God is what God said. You can't just say, I'm just going to believe God to do this. and pull something out of the air that's not in the Bible or that God hasn't spoken to you by the Spirit.
Yeah.
You have to be authorized to believe something.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the only place your faith will work. What he said is the only place it'll work.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get into some specifics in a moment.
Right.
But hearing authors a belief, but it also authorizes it.
That's good.
Remember, faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
That means when you hear, that authors faith.
Yes.
You say, I know that. Well, I've met a lot of you that didn't. I'm just going to believe that the doctors won't find anything.
All right.
Well, what are you basing that on?
Come on.
Oh, I'm basing on by his stripes I'm healed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's different than the doctors won't find anything.
That's right.
All they're going to do is look and see what's there.
Yes.
They're just looking at the natural realm.
Yeah.
And you're putting all your faith in a report that says something's not there.
Yeah.
Why don't you put your faith in the word that says, regardless of what they see, by his stripes I'm healed.
Yeah, that's right. Regardless of what we
You understand there's a difference to that?
Amen.
See, that's misplaced faith.
Yes.
And then people, since that's the wrong foundation, that rather than what God said, it's a foundation that they concocted or they built. And since it's not God's word, as soon as they find something, the devil kicks all the props out from under their faith and they come crashing down and saying, oh, I thought I was believing God. I guess I wasn't. Well, you weren't. That's the problem. You weren't. You weren't basing it on something God said. Did God say you're going to go to the doctor and they're not going to find anything? No, he probably didn't. He could.
Yeah, he could.
He could.
Yeah.
And then you can put your faith on it. But if he didn't say that, just stay with what God said in his word.
Amen. Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So God speaking authorizes you to believe something.
Yes. Right.
Amen. Abraham didn't just choose a plan for his life. He heard the plan and then he started saying that.
Yes.
Amen.
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 You got to be real careful about just saying, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
What we're talking about tonight is depending on the Holy Ghost as you walk by faith.
Yes.
Or let's say it this way, depending on the Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost. What's that? That's the inner witness, the leadings of God, what he's talking to your heart about.
Amen. Yes.
Well, I'm just going to believe God because I found in the Word. You know, here's one reason people do this sometimes, they misapply their faith, is they're trying to hold to the Word apart from the leadings of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I'm going to stand on the Word. Okay, it's a big book. Which part are you going to stand on?
Come on.
Well, I'm just, you know, by stripes I'm healed. Okay. But what's the Holy Ghost talking to your heart about?
Yeah.
What's he saying?
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to dig into this a little bit tonight.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You can go to 1 Timothy 1:19 here in the Amplified. 1 Timothy 1:19. Somebody said, I thought Pastor Nancy preached this the other night. I'm shamelessly stealing her sermon.
Thank you. Yes. Do it. Yes. Thank you.
That's
what we need.
Amen. Shamelessly. Send it to her, please. I want her to hear that I so honor what she said that I preached it myself. This is huge for believers.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you can say almost every week we run into something that's misplaced faith. People say they're believing something. It's misplaced faith.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Did you find 1 Timothy 1:19? Holding fast to faith. Okay, so we hold fast to faith, the leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence, and, in other words, holding fast to having a good, clear conscience.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, say that out loud, and.
Amen.
So, many people are holding to faith, but this verse says to hold to faith and what the Spirit's saying to your spirit.
Yes.
People are trying to do one without the other, and that's why they find out what happens here. He said, notice what he goes on to say, by rejecting and thrusting from them their conscience, some individuals have made shipwreck of their faith.
Yeah.
In other words, what's the conscience? The conscience is the voice of your spirit. But if you study closely, like Romans 9:1 is a clear verse on it. There's many others. But you'll find that Paul said he followed his conscience, but his conscience was the voice of his spirit, but his spirit would only pick up and hear what the Holy Ghost was saying to his spirit, or what the Holy Spirit was witnessing with his spirit. He said, I speak the truth in Christ, Romans 9:1, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Bearing me witness, in other words, his conscience passed on to him and witnessed with him what the Holy Ghost was witnessing to his spirit.
Yes.
The conscience is the voice of the human spirit.
Yes.
You should always follow your conscience.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Amen. It's like a set of guardrails on your faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Now, what I mean by that, let me illustrate something else. People can read something in the Word and find that it's God's best. That they'll look and they'll see it's God's best. They have long life, no sickness, so forth and so on. Or they'll find God, with God, all things are possible. And they'll see these things in the Word. And they'll think because of what is available and because of what God can do, listen to me, and because of what they see as God's best, they'll think they should just latch onto that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever their conscience might say they're not there in faith.
Right. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You realize what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Someone, I remember one time ministering to a man. he was at healing school, and then he got admitted to the hospital. And so they asked me if I had time to go up and visit him. And so I did. And I was going up the elevator, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on in this man's situation. You tell me how to minister to him. And I sensed the Lord speaking to my heart and saying, when you talk to him, just keep saying, faith means you're certain.
Yeah.
Faith means you're sure.
Yes.
Well, I didn't fully understand what the Lord was going to use those words to do for him.
Yeah.
I didn't know how that was to apply to him, other than I know that that's faith. But the Lord just kept. And so I must have said that, I don't know how many times, just said it over and over again. And come to find out, when I got there, he said the Lord had told him not to have an operation.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'll be honest with you, that doesn't even sound like God.
Uh-huh. Yeah, come on.
Let me tell you something that sounds more like God. I don't have peace about having an operation. You still what I'm talking about? I just sense I don't need to have an operation. You know what I'm talking about? Just absolute don't have it doesn't sound too much like God. Because God's not real, just absolutely never get an operation or absolutely don't. It's according to your faith. And he won't demand anything.
Right.
He might even warn somebody, if you have the operation, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
But to say, do not have one, that doesn't even sound like him.
Sir. No, sir.
I've been talking to him for a long time. Doesn't even sound like something he'd say.
Come on.
Do you understand the difference of those statements?
Yes, sir.
And so he said the Lord told him not to have an operation instantly inside. Because Brother Hagin said a divine healing technician is someone, because he said in healing school, one of the parts of the vision there was to raise up divine healing technicians. He said the divine healing technicians are those that minister healing by the Spirit.
Right.
Doctors minister by medicine. That's fine, good, wonderful. They help a lot of us. But he said a divine healing technician is someone who diagnoses the problem by the Spirit. See, medical scientists, they diagnose it by tests and so forth. And then they prescribe a remedy according to their studies, medical science, medicine, all that. And so he said a divine healing technician diagnoses and prescribes by the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
And so he said, when people say things, listen to your spirit. If you're going to be a divine healing technician and people are asking you to help them, that's a big key. You're not supposed to run around and say, just throw a faith confession siren off. Throw a switch that makes the siren go off when you hear somebody say something that's not faith. If they didn't ask you to help them in faith, if they haven't submitted themselves to you to, you know, help them receive from God.
Right.
Well, I mean, if you can, if they would receive it, you might could say something. But then a lot of you don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Right.
So, you know, anyway. But these are people that came for help.
Yeah.
They're asking us to help.
Yes.
So he said, diagnose and prescribe and look to your spirit. Whenever they say something, see what your spirit is, what's the spirit saying in your spirit. So he said that and something didn't set right with me. So I said, God, then I knew what the Lord had meant.
Yeah.
Faith means you're certain. Faith means you're sure.
Yeah.
So I said that, well, if God said that, if you're in faith, faith means you're certain God said that. Faith means you're sure God said that.
Amen.
And I don't know how many times. I sometimes say I must have said it 20 times. I don't remember, but it was a lot of times. And so then we went and left. And the next day we went back, but it was later in the day. And I'll never forget it. I went there and I said, I'm here to see so-and-so. And they said, well, he's not in the room he was. He's in another room. You can see him, but, you know, he's changed. Oh, so I went in there. And he's sitting up. He's coherent and everything. But he had had an operation that morning. He said, here's what happened. He said, you kept saying yesterday, faith means you're certain, faith means you're sure. He said, you left, and eventually my wife left, and I'm there by myself, and got dark, and I'm just laying there and trying to go to sleep. He said, and I couldn't go to sleep. Yeah. He said, those words you gave, you said faith means you're certain, faith means you're sure. He said, they just stood at the end of the bed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what that means. That just means they're standing right in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can't go to sleep. Those words are just trying to talk to him.
Yeah.
That's his conscience.
Yes.
That's what that is.
Yes, sir.
You ever had something like that happen?
Yeah.
I mean, you go home, you're trying to sleep, and the way you treated somebody or the way you talked to them, just standing right there looking at you.
Yep.
And you're trying to go to sleep, and it's still, I mean, you close your eyes, you can still see it standing right there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're just a dud. Amen. I didn't say you were. I said if.
Amen.
Some of you are looking at me like. So those words just stood there. He said, I got to thinking about it. Am I sure God said that? Am I certain God said that? He said, I just started thinking about it, and I don't remember God saying that. He said, I just decided that.
All right. Yeah.
And he said, the reason I did was because if I did, I don't remember even what the condition was, but the doctors had said if he had an operation, it would fix it.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I sat there and I was honest. How many of you know you got to be honest with yourself? Don't try to just say something because that's the way you want it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants an operation. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, yippee, woo, click your heels together. Today, I'm going to be cut on. No, nobody wants an operation.
No, sir.
He said, I just got to thinking about that. And he said, I just had to be honest with myself. The Lord didn't say that to me.
Yeah.
In fact, I found out later, because when I got there, it was real tense in the room. And his wife and he had been arguing about it. Well, that's a good indication. Anyway, but he said, I just realized that God didn't say that. He said, I just didn't want to have the operation because I would lose my insurance benefits. Yep. I've run into that situation a number of times. Well, praise the Lord. Well, it wasn't working. That's why his faith wasn't working. You know, faith not working is, I mean, I know faith works.
Yes, it does.
Yes, well, praise the Lord. Some of you looking at me real strange. Take time to hear from God.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, the Bible says, well, that's what you remember the Bible saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's what verse I stood on the last time.
Yeah.
Well, let's just go over to another verse then. Go to with me to 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel 5, 17 through 21. This is a story that I think a lot of us need to hear.
Yes, sir.
2 Samuel 5, let's look at this. I'm trying to hurry, but we'll just take our time. And did I say 17? 2 Samuel 5, 17 through 21. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David. And David heard it not and went down into the hold. The Philistines also came. This doesn't sound right. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, let me keep reading. I just gave you the wrong. I was supposed to start in verse number 19. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up? Let's back up. Verse 18. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. Say the Valley of Rephaim. Remember that. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hands? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, or however you say that. And David smote them there and said unto the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. In other words, these false idols. And the Philistines, look at this. The Philistines came up again and spread themselves in the Valley of Rephaim. Same situation. Same. Same situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same ugly, stinky Philistines.
Yep.
Same valley.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And when David saw it, he just said, well, I'll just do what I did last time.
All right.
That's where people miss it.
Yep.
Look at verse 23. David inquired of the Lord. See, he's got to hear. He's got to hear what God has to say about this situation. He inquired of the Lord. Amen. He said, the Lord said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them. And come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, probably wind, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. In other words, get up. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba till they came to Gezer, or however you say that, Gezer. Amen. Same Philistine, same battle, same situation. Well, let's just do what we did last time. Faith comes by hearing, not by having heard.
Right.
Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
David sought God both times. He needed to hear what God had to say both times.
Yes.
What would have happened if he had just said, well, God said last time, let's just do the same thing this time? He'd have been whooped. He'd have been whooped. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Yes.
You might not understand this statement right now, but listen to me. Faith is a constant dependence on the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I said it's a constant dependence on the Holy Ghost. In other words, it's a life of constantly depending on the direction of the Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I thought faith was a constant dependence on the Word. It is.
Yeah.
But which part?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Do you know one time you just take by his stripes I'm healed and you can lay hold of that? Another time something's scratching you on the inside.
Yeah.
So you got to look to the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy? What is that inside? And it has to do with something he's been dealing with you about that you weren't listening to.
Yeah.
So you can try to go through the motions just like you did last time. But faith is not just a bunch of motions. Faith is of the heart.
Yes, amen.
What's going on in your heart?
Yeah, there you go.
Good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Spirit said to me a number of years ago, I want you to mix your fellowship with me in the Spirit now with your faith. I don't know how many, I don't know if you understand what that means. In other words, I want you to learn to depend on the leading of the Spirit to apply your faith.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
Huh?
Yep.
It's awfully quiet in here tonight. I want you to learn to depend on the leading of the Spirit. In other words, fellowshipping with God is where he talks to your heart.
Yes.
He's got answers.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 Listen, I've worked with people sometimes that have been stuck for years in something.
Yes.
I'll be general here. But I've talked to ministers. I'm thinking of one right now. He has had a lot of struggle in his life. Known him for years. And it got really bad recently. Some situations, family member passed on and so forth. Well, my heart was going out to him. I reached out to him. Hadn't talked to him for a long time. Reached out to him, talking to him, fellowshipping with him and so forth. Just loving on him. You know, it's a tough thing when a relative goes to heaven. So just loving on him, and I just knew in my heart, I've known this for years. Pastor Debbie and I have talked about it for years. Not in the right place in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Not in the right office.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I try to ignore it, and it's just stuck there all the time. You just know it.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you say something to him? Can't get unction to.
All right.
Wow. Probably wouldn't listen.
Yeah. Wow.
Jesus, listen, listen.
Yes,
when it comes to other people, you can't always say everything you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Jesus said, Mark, somewhere in Mark 4:30, I believe. He said, to the people what they were able to hear.
Yes.
Is that Mark 4:30? I believe it's Mark 4:30. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe 5:30 or something. He spoke to them as they were able to hear it. Huh? Somebody gave it Mark 4:33. He spoke to them as they were able to hear it. He spoke to them because he knew they needed it? No. As they were able to hear it. As they were able to hear it. You got to get that. As they were able to hear it. Your relatives can't hear everything.
Come on. That's so true.
But that's true about all of us. It's true about all of us. Remember Jesus said in John 16, I don't remember the verse there, but somewhere right down through maybe 13 or something like that. He said, I have many things to say unto you, so I'm just going to say them. No, he said, you can't bear them now. But he said, whenever the Holy Ghost comes, he'll guide you into all truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Woo, we want to be free. Just tell me, Jesus. Well, it's like some things trying to tell a three-year-old about algebra. Some things you got to grow first.
Amen.
I don't say as near as much to a lot of people, especially if I'm walking by faith in an area. I don't say a lot to a lot of people that don't understand about faith or don't know. You're going to try to talk me out of it. You ever notice that Abraham never said a word to Sarah about offering Isaac up on that altar? You know what's going to happen if he tells Sarah? She's going to have her a hissy fit.
Yes, she is. That's her baby.
He didn't even tell Isaac. Remember, he said, Isaac said, Dad, we got the wood and the fire. Where's the offering? He said, God will provide. There's just some things you don't need to say.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, zip it. Just see a zip it. I'm talking about around people that don't need to hear everything God's saying to you. They'll try to talk you right out of it. Especially your unbelieving relatives. So, now that everybody's happy, let me finish that story. I was talking to this minister, and I said, Lord, your heart goes out to people. You don't want to see them struggle. Struggle. Yeah. That's just the way some people live. Struggle. Somewhere they're not listening. I said somewhere they're not listening. Life should not be the same every year. Now that don't mean you don't go through seasons of test and trial and maybe even go backwards for a while.
Come on.
I've done that. But I didn't stay there.
Come on. Amen.
Oh, it's awfully quiet in this spirit of faith family church. Hallelujah. So my heart went out to him and I was like, God, how can I help him? And this came up in my heart. Just ask him. I said, tell me when God called you. Because, you know, this situation with a relative going to heaven, it just rocked his boat. And, you know, he's not even sure he was going to stay in the ministry and so forth. Anyway, I won't go into much detail. I said, tell me when God called you. Tell me when he spoke to you about where you're at now in ministry. You know, the place, the position, so forth. And tell me all about that. And he started in telling a story. And you know, he could not tell me that God called him to the ministry. He couldn't even tell me that God told him to be where he was. You know, if you can't tell me, God must not have spoken to you. You need to be able to tell me when God told you. You say, well, I'm going to believe God not to have an operation. You need to be able to tell me when God said that to you. Where were you?
Come on now.
Were you in prayer? Where were you? Where did he say it?
Thank you.
Well, I just kind of thought maybe. No, that's not good enough. That's not faith.
Come on. Yes, sir.
That's not faith.
Come on now.
Well, I don't want to have an operation. People think I don't have faith. Listen, get an operation and live.
Come on, thank you.
We'll all rejoice. I mean, you ought to know by now, this group right here, just be glad you're living and glad they'll help you through it. And praise be to God. I think some of it's pride.
Oh,
I might look bad.
Sure it is. Come on.
Well, only to people that are dumb. And who cares what you look like in dumb people's eyes?
Come on.
I mean, here you are. Anyway, I'll get off of that. Maybe I should get back to my notes. You got to be able to tell me when God spoke to you. You ever notice whenever we do things, I always go back, this is what God said. Here's where I was. There's many things God said. I can still see it. I can still see the square foot of pavement where I was standing. I remember the whole scene. I remember when God speaks, it takes time, stands still. Boom.
Amen.
I mean, if you don't, it might not have to be that dramatic, but you just need to go, you need to be able to tell somebody the time and where it was, yes, what you were doing, and God spoke.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have that, you're not in faith.
Come on.
Faith comes by
hearing.
Hearing. All right. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now back to this 1 Timothy. Remember the end of the, well, no, where were we here? 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding not just faith, but a clear conscience. A good conscience means a clear conscience. The conscience is the voice of your spirit, which picks things up from the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So one should not sail without the other. One should not launch forth without the other having witness to it, bearing witness to it. Luke 8:22, Jesus said, told his disciples, let's go over to the other side, and they launched forth. God showed me that verse years ago. It never fails to bless me. They didn't just launch forth. They heard Jesus say, let's go over to the other side. People just launch, you know, because people in the world today, they're just going to be movers and shakers. They're going to start this and do this and build this. And that's not God for the believer. For the believer, you hear.
Yeah, you hear.
It starts with hearing.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're not doing it in faith. And you're not pleasing God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't care if you made $1 million, you're still not pleasing God.
Amen.
Faith is not authorized to sail alone.
That's right.
Because here he's talking about ending up as a shipwreck. Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
So faith isn't authorized to sail alone.
Right.
Your conscience is the map for your faith.
Yes.
It's Google Maps.
Yeah. Come on.
You know, you key in the address you want to go and you start it.
Yeah.
And that lippy lady says to do this. She says, Turn, you know, 1 mile, take exit 37. You know, that's the directions of how to get to where you're going. And that's your conscience is that to your faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Now, the ultimate goal, let's take healing for example, the ultimate arrival is by his stripes I'm healed. Well, you can see where you need to go, so let's just go right now. Well, how many of you know the Spirit will lead you the way he wants to lead you this time, and it might not be a direct route.
Yeah.
It might be through some dealings of some wrong thinking here, and adjustments of attitudes here, and changing the and walking in forgiveness here, and then boom, there you are.
Yeah.
You thought you could just walk right here, but you couldn't see the bridges out right there. So faith, that's what the Lord meant when he said faith is a constant dependence on the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes.
Say that. Faith is a constant dependent on the Holy Ghost. Amen. In other words, he's talking about his guidance.
Yes.
Now listen, he'll always guide you right back to the Word.
Yes,
somebody said, I'm standing on the Word. Well, how about whenever the Lord starts dealing with you about forgiving somebody?
Yeah.
Letting go of a grudge or something.
Yeah.
That's the Word.
Yeah, it is.
Well, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear that. I'm just by his stripes, I'm healed. Well, see now, that's what we mean by you can't just pick a Bible verse and say, I'm going to stand on it.
That's right.
Pull a Bible verse out of the promise box. You know, you ever seen those things whenever I was growing up and we had those things? You pull out a scripture and you read it. Oh, that's my scripture for today. Oh, that's really being led, isn't it? People, anyway, I'll get off of that. Listen to 1 Timothy 1:5-6. Now the end of the commandment is charity, that means the love walk, out of a pure heart, now listen to this, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now listen to this next statement. From which some having swerved, in other words, they're walking by faith without a good conscience, or without a pure heart and walking in love. Some have swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings. Oh, nobody's ever walked up to you and said, "That's just a bunch of vain janglings."
No, no.
We don't know what that means, do we? One translation says, let me see. One translation says, "Futile talk." Listen to this one. And I didn't have time to look this one up, but it means, one translation says, where are we at here? Because they've set aside a good conscience and walking in love, their faith is just a wilderness of words.
Wow.
That one got me.
Wow.
A wilderness of words. Let me tell you something about a wilderness. Number one, it's dry.
The
wilderness is dry. And people that are just speaking faith confessions when it's not coming out of their heart because God's dealing with something in their heart, and they're just trying to, you know, just sort of force God, twist his arm, make sure this happens. And it's dry. There's no life to it. Faith is alive.
Yes, it is.
Faith is something that lives. It's something that is something that is quickened, a truth that is quickened to your spirit.
Yes, amen.
That's right.
Through your fellowship with God.
That's right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's not just a dead thing.
No, sir. Right.
That's no, right. So, you know, a wilderness is a place that's dry. The second thing about a wilderness, you think about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And he implies that's just what they're doing. They're just wandering around in this talk.
Yep.
Uh-oh. Wow. Come on now.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's getting down there tight tonight. Say that out loud. A wilderness of words. That's an amazing... That just speaks volumes to me. Amen. In other words, they held to their confession, but they didn't hold to what came up out of their conscience.
Yes.
So they're just wandering around, wandering around.
Yeah.
No, in other words, no direction. Why? Because they're overriding what's the love that's shed abroad in their heart. They're overriding what their conscience is saying.
Yes.
In other words, this guide down here, they just have a practice of overriding that.
Yeah.
But they're going to speak their faith.
Uh-huh. Come on.
And, you know, 7 years later,
yeah.
Nothing's happening.
Come on. Wow.
It's a sad commentary, some people's faith life. The wilderness is dry. Amen. And a wilderness implies a place of no direction. You need direction before you speak.
Yes.
You need direction before you speak.
Amen.
Direction comes by hearing.
Yes, it does.
Yes,
it does. Amen.
Amen.
Say what you heard. What did you hear?
Amen.
Well, I just remember by his stripes I'm healed. Not say what you remember. Say what you heard.
Yes.
Say what you heard. See, I'm not just talking about you heard it bounce off your eardrums.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah. We can have it bounce off our eardrums and our heart hasn't heard it.
Yeah.
Hearing, that term hearing doesn't just mean it bounced off your ears.
Right.
Some heard,
yeah.
In Jesus' ministry, they heard and got mad. Remember the people he preached to in his own hometown?
Yeah.
Spirit of the Lord's on me. And they heard, and they were filled with wrath.
Yeah.
Took him to the edge of the city to throw him off the edge of the, throw him off the cliff.
Yeah.
Well, I thought faith comes by hearing. Well, you got to receive what is heard.
Yes, sir.
So Jesus said one time, "Let these sayings," talking to his disciples, "let these sayings sink down into your ears."
Yeah.
In other words, there must be an ear deeper.
Yeah.
Sink down in.
Yeah.
It's like a quarter going into a soda machine.
Right.
I don't even know if you can buy a soda with quarters anymore. But anyway, last soda I drank was probably 1990. Whenever we were, anyway. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
So you put that quarter in there. Clunk, clunk, clunk. You hear it clunk down in there? That's the way the word's supposed to go.
Praise God.
Bypass the mind. Clunk down in your spirit.
Wow.
Whenever it lands down on the inside of your spirit, your spirit lights up. You see it.
Yeah.
You hear it. You hear it on the inside.
Yeah.
Woo, glory to God. And when that happens, all the devils in hell can't shake that out of you.
Come on.
That's what you hold to.
Yes.
Hold to that.
Amen.
Woo, glory be to God.
Glory.
Praise God. Praise God. So faith comes by hearing. But and faith also, that hearing also directs you. And you got to hear, generally hear the word, yes, but specifically hear what the Spirit's saying to your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, oh my goodness. So life is a life of faith is a life of constant dependence. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes someone's, then your conscience is telling you different than what, so your conscience will tell you something different than what you prefer. Like this man I talked about. See, that's what people, I mean, that might sound so simple, but people get tripped up on that. And they get bullheaded about their preference. Remember that man I told you about? He's bullheaded about his preference about not having an operation. See, he knew God's best was not to have an operation. But that doesn't mean the Spirit was directing him in line with that because he knew he wasn't there. The Spirit will direct you in line with your faith. Where are you at in your measure of faith? So you can't just be mental. You can't approach the word mentally and try to process it and walk by faith just out of your memory or mental agreement with what you heard.
Yeah.
Faith is not a mental thing. Right. It's of the heart.
Yes, yes.
Amen. You're still with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
But it might not be what you prefer.
Right.
I didn't prefer to move to Cedar Rapids. No, I know, that's just an illustration. You all understand because you heard me say it. But there's something in your life that maybe you don't prefer.
True
story.
It's true. But the Lord will lead you something different than your preference. I talk to some people, and it seems like God's always telling them to do what their flesh wants. And I had to realize after a while, they're not listening to God. They're listening to their flesh. I've very seldom gotten what my flesh wants.
Amen.
Start two churches? I've just really been enjoying a little extra time. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you, just apply it to your life, all right? Just apply it to Learn not to have that much of a preference. Develop the spiritual habit of just, I'm not going to concoct a whole big plan around what I prefer and kind of nurture it and baby it and bottle it and burp it and become real affectionate about it. Because you're just going to have to die to it when God says, I want you to do this. It just gives you something to trip over. You know what I'm talking about. So don't think about it. Somebody, how do I nurture it? You think about it and make plans and all of that. It's not wrong to do that, but make sure you've heard from God before you do that.
Amen.
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 We're making a lot of plans about the church plant in Kansas City. But it's not because we wanted to do that.
Right.
That wasn't my thought.
Right.
Nor my preference.
Right.
Amen. Somebody's getting it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Be honest with yourself. Is this just what I prefer, what I would like, or is this my heart telling me this? Listen, if you concoct a lot of ideas and thoughts and plans without praying and hearing from God, it'll confuse you. Because when you meditate on those things and plan them and so forth, you might not have thought about it, but you're feeding it into your spirit. You're not supposed to feed your thoughts into your spirit. You're supposed to feed his thoughts into your spirit.
Amen.
It's not wrong to feed something into your spirit, but just make sure it's the right thing.
That's right.
Pastor Debbie and I, a long time ago, stopped saying to people, just follow your heart. Because we watch them follow their heart right out into the flesh.
Yeah.
What was that? Well, they fed that into their heart. Some of you are thinking. Praise the Lord. So just don't think much about things mentally. I don't think much about Kansas City. You might think I do, but I think with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
In other words, I pray in the Holy Ghost, something comes up, and then I start meditating on that.
Amen.
I'm like an old cow. I grew up on the farm. Forgive me for being a farm boy for a minute. But out in the pasture, I noticed as a kid, I asked Dad, what are they doing? The cows would go eat, and then they'd lay down in over in the pasture, and then they'd lay there for a while, and you start chewing on something. I said, what's that, Dad? He said, that's a cud. I said, what's a cud? Well, you don't want to know. Amen. It's stinky, but it's the regurgitation food, regurgitation of the food. And they chew it. See, cows don't. Anyway, I won't go into all the details, but the point is, that's what you need to do with the word.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You see, you come to the church service and you eat the word, but you need to go home, lay down, and go.
Yep.
Break it. Praise God. But see, only do that with what God said. Don't do that with your own thoughts. You can formulate a whole plan and be convinced God is in it. But that was just your own thoughts. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I believe that's enough. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of the word tonight? Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. Not just hearing mentally, not just hearing, you know, or not just remembering something. Do you know you can't live on the memory of last week's T-bone steak?
Oh, yeah.
You might remember it. You remember how good it was.
Yeah.
But you can't live on the memory of that.
No.
If you want to live, you got to eat more steak.
That's right.
What are y'all doing after service? Maybe we should go eat. You got to keep. And so you can't do that with the word either. You can't just live on the memory. Well, I remember the Bible said, by his stripes you're healed. That's good that you remember, but go to feeding on that.
Yes.
Go to feeding on that.
Amen.
Feed that into your spirit. Faith comes by hearing, not having heard.
Yes, sir.
Stand with me to your feet. Praise the Lord. Yes, shamelessly. I preached Pastor Nancy's sermon. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I know if I'm this way, you're this way. I went back and listened to it again, and I thought, man, I forgot that. I didn't catch that. So we got to hear things over and over again, don't we? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for helping us tonight. Lord, I believe some of us, this is getting us unstuck. We've just been going through the motions of faith. With no real substance. We didn't really hear you. We're just throwing words at the situation. Father, thank you for helping us. Thank you for answers. Thank you, Father, for taking what we shared tonight and breaking it down for each one of us individually so we can go here with answers for our specific situation, our specific need, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Just like you divided up the loaves and fishes for the 5,000. So you took what I shared tonight and divided it up for every person that they can apply specifically to their need and to their life and to their situation. Thank you, Father. Where we've been stuck, tonight we're getting unstuck. Where we've had no answers, tonight we're getting answers. Where nothing's been happening, tonight we found out how to get things to happen. We give you praise for it, Father. Father, we take it, but we're also not just hearers, we're doers of your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't minimize the importance of a personal fellowship with God. Personal fellowship. Church is not enough. Church is not enough. You get a lot of church, but take it and let God talk to you about it. Don't take it and forget it. Too much of what the Lord shares with us, we forget.
Yes.
That's all of us. We need to. I write a lot of things down. If the Lord says something, I'll stop and I'll just, depending on the setting I'm in, I'm either put it in my computer or I'll talk into it if I'm driving or something. And I just, because I don't want to forget that.
Yeah, amen.
That's a big human characteristic.
Yes, yes.
We forget things, but we don't have to. Amen. And then go back and meditate, feed those things. And I just am so glad years ago, way back on 1999 somewhere, I think. Actually before that. No, it was quite well before that. I started writing things down. I got all sorts of journals. Sometimes I just feed. I just spend a couple of hours just reading through there again, just and then whatever my spirit jumps at, I take that and I'll meditate on that for a while. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.